Welcome to Tarati Mecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Smiles, and today we'll be studying Hosea chapter 12.
The chapter begins with a comparison between Klal Yisrael and Shevet Yehuda, the 10 tribes versus the 2 tribes. And he begins in the first verse, Zavavuni Bekachash Ephraim. Ephraim is completely surrounded by falsehood. Uvimirma Beit Yisrael and lies. The children of Israel, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes are involved, as we've spoken about, in complete corruption. Vihuda, yet Judah, the 2 tribes, Odrad Imkel, they still rule with Hashem. At that time, they were still committed to doing the will of God. Vim Kdoshim Ne'eman, and they were loyal to that path of holiness. Ephraim Ro'e Ruach. Ephraim, on the contrary, is shepherding wind, which is the idea of serving idolatry, things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Virodev Kadim, and they run after these east winds that are useless. Kol Hayom, they do this all day. They're involved in Chazav Vashod Yerbet. They're involved not only in Vodah Zarah, they're involved in lies, in plundering, and they just increase this. Uvrit im Ashur Yichrotu, and they also go to Assyria to make a covenant. V'shemen l'mitzrayim yuval, and they bring oil down to Egypt in order to cement the relationship with them. This pasuk really encapsulates the sins of the 10 tribes of Avodah Zarah, corruption, and turning to the other nations for help and not turning to Hashem. V'riv l'Hashem im Yehuda. It's as if the 10 tribes have a contention with Yehuda. V'lifkod al Yaakov kidrachav kemalalav yashivlo. The Malbim explains that it's if B'nai Israel is turning to Yehuda and saying, why should you follow Hashem? Follow our ways. And indeed, they are basing it on previous history. Yaakov Avinu also had a fight, did he not, almost in a sarcastic way, with his brother? So we too can fight with you and tell you that what you're doing is wrong. To which the Navi responds in the fourth verse, Babetin Akev et Achiv. In the womb, Yaakov Avinu was able to grab the heel of his brother. Uveono Sarah et Elohim. And with his strength, he was able to fight God. Yes, you see that Yaakov Avinu fought with his brothers. But he fought with his brother in order to see the perception of Hashem. He fought with his brother in order to bring godliness into this world, not for the opposite. And indeed, Vayasar el Malach Vayuchal, he fought with the archangel of evil and he was successful. Bacha Vaychanelo, and he cried, and the angel cried, and he pleaded with him, please let me go. Beit El Yimsa'enu, to which the angel said, when you go to Beit El, there you will find me. Visham Yidaber Imanu, and there Hashem will speak to me and to you, and to change your name from Yaakov to Yisrael. It's interesting, the Sfarim point out that the Jewish people are called Yisrael because we have fought with God and we have won. So why aren't we called Vayuchal? We have vanquished, we have won. Yisrael is from the concept of Sarita, to struggle. And the Mefarshim explain is that in Yiddishkeit, it's not about vanquishing and winning. It's about the struggle. Yisrael's name itself represents that we have the ability to continuously struggle. And that is what makes us so special. And that's the Yaakov, the Ekev, holding on to the heel, continuously involved in that struggle. Vashem Lokei Tzvakot Hashem Zichro. And therefore, we need Hashem who is continuous in verse 6. We need to follow his ways like Yaakov Avinu did. He does not change, we cannot change. And as the Malbim would explain these two verses, it's as if Yeravam was saying, well, the angel said, I will come to Beit El, and I'll be with you there when Hashem brings you your new name. And since Beit El became a place where the angel was found, so the angel is continuously found there, V'sham Yidaber Imanu, and there Hashem, we can use the angels and intermediary to serve God. To which the Navi responds, Vashem Elokei HaTzvakot Hashem Zichro. You don't need an intermediary. Hashem is the Lord of all hosts. Hashem is there continuously. There is no reason to make an idol in Beit El. This is a place of holiness. This is a place of revelation without an intermediary. And he turns to the people, Hosea in verse 7, and he says to them, and this is really the essence of what Yiddishkeit is about. Va'ata belokecha tashuv, and you shall return to God. And know chesed u'mishpat shmor, kindness and justice guard. V'kaveh elokecha tamid, and hope in Hashem at all times. If you do acts of kindness and acts of justice and turn to Hashem, Hashem will enable you to do tshuva. He'll take you in with open arms. It's interesting that in this verse, it describes that chesed u'mishpat, kindness and justice, shmor, you should guard. And it doesn't say aso, do. Should we not do justice and kindness? What is this idea of guarding? So first you point out, that we know the word guarding also means to anticipate. Similar to by Yaakov Avinu anticipating Yosef's dream, V'aviv shamarat ha-davar, and his father watched, guarded, when will this happen? The inyan of Shmira Shabbos is to anticipate Shabbos. By Chesed u'Mishpat, it's not enough just to do. You have to anticipate it. You have to look forward to it. When you see somebody coming into a room to a shiur late, instead of sitting there and judging them, why are they late? And there are no chairs left. And what are they going to do? Stand, get up, and help them find a chair. Look for opportunities to help. Be on guard that you can do acts of kindness and justice. And at all times, put one's faith in Hashem. Well, this is the optimum in verse 8. What were the people involved in? Kenan biyado mosnei mirma lashoka hev. Kenan here either could be a traitor, that they have in their hands false weights and they love to cheat, or Kenan could be the country that the Jewish people learned from the Canaanites, and Kenan was one who in his will told his children love to steal. That they followed suit, and instead of wanting justice, they were involved in Oshek, they were involved in cheating. To which Ephraim responds in verse 9, Vayomer Ephraim achasharti, no, I became rich, matzati only, I have my own strength that I found, kol yigiyai, all of this that I have comes from me, lo yimsu li avon asher chet, you won't find anything wrong in what I have acquired, it all comes from me. To which Hashem responds in verse 10, V'anochi Hashem Elokecha Meretz Yisrael, and I am Hashem your God from the land of Egypt. Which Rashi translates that just like in Egypt, Hashem was able to distinguish between who was the firstborn and who was not. Hashem is able to discern who has false weights and who does not. And at the same time, you almost have this sigh of Odo Shivcha Ba'olim Kimei Moed. Says Rashi, the second part of the pasuk is as if Hashem is yearning that there will come a time that I will bring your children back. I will get rid of all these corrupt merchants and bring your children back to the tents, like in the former days. And the tents are the tents of Torah, of Yaakov, is Yosef Oalim. It's as if we're going back to this image of Yaakov Avinu, that this is the image we have to have in front of us. One who fought, but fought for justice. One who fought, but believed in God and turned to Hashem. And the image that one day we will come back to that level, immersion in Torah. V'dibarti ala nevi'im. And Hashem, in order to get to this vision in verse 11, has called on the prophets, v'anochi chazon yerbeiti. And he has increased the visions of the prophets, uviyata nevi'im adameh, and he's given them metaphors and allegories to try to bring the people back. But yet it's for naught. In verse 12, im gilad aven achshav hayu, Gilad suffered destruction. They lived, the antithesis of this, they brought it on themselves. Gilad was the first to go into Golos in the Ever Layarden across the Jordan. And by Gilgal, the other side of the Jordan, the people followed suit. They learned from them. Shvarim Zibechu, the place of where the Mishkan began. There's where they sacrificed oxes to idolatry. Gam Mizbechotam Kigalim Al Talmei Sadai, they have like heaps of on the furrows of the field. They're just involved in sacrificing to the idols. And again, the imagery that the Hosea uses over and over again is the imagery of fields being an agricultural people. They can appreciate that the imagery of all these fields in front of them, they're able almost to imagine all this idolatry, which is just consuming the entire land. And once again, we go back to, that's the reality, but this is the vision of Hashem. Verse 13 begins the Haftarah for Parsha Vayetze for the Ashkenazim. Vayivrach Yaakov stay Aram. Remember when Yaakov ran to the field of Aram. Vayavod Yisrael b'Yishal b'Yishah Shamar. And he worked so many years for this woman. And he guarded to make sure that he would be able to be faithful to his promise to work for her for 7 years. Another 7 years, altogether 20 years. This is what faithfulness is all about. Learn from Yaakov the positive. And see as well the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. 14, Ubinavi Hala Hashem Yisrael, where the prophet Hashem took the Jews out of Yisrael and Mitzrayim from Egypt. Ubinavi Mishmar. And we were guarded by these prophets. Hashem wants to just give us love, and the prophets are ones of protection. And yet, instead, the Jewish people's response is 15, Hichis Ephraim Tamurim. Ephraim has bitterly angered Hashem with Avodah Zarah, with corruption, with idolatry. V'damav alav yitosh, and the blood of their guilt is spread out all upon them. V'cherpato yashiv lo Adonav, is it no wonder Hashem will repay them for his actions. This chapter therefore contrasts Yaakov Avinu and the special love that Hashem had for him and he for him. And that connection to the corruption that was involved in the people at that time. And if they would just follow the ways of honesty, the ways that Yaakov Avinu showed, then they will feel that love that Hashem has had for the Jews in Egypt and continues to have if they just but turn to him, the Kavel Hashem, and hope in Hashem. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.